Joining me this morning by phone is U.S. Senator Mark Pryor. Morning, Senator.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Good to have you with us. We've, of course, been monitoring the aftermath of this tragic tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, and we've been hearing about that on NPR this morning as well. And we know that FEMA officials have been on the scene assessing the needs for federal assistance. This is another one of those incredible situations where a lot of combined resources are going to be needed for the recovery for many, many months ahead.
It is, and of course our thoughts and prayers are with the people in Oklahoma. Arkansas's been through these types of things before, and you know, I'm a big supporter of disaster relief, and if they need some extra help from the federal government, I want to be here for them. You know, as part of being a union like we are, there's times when your fellow state is in need, and we all need to rally around. And I know, especially people in western Arkansas, are really rolling out to help those folks in Oklahoma, because they really are their neighbors, and we're going to help all we can.
That's right. Well, how do you feel about Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn's assertion that federal aid in situations like this should be offset by budget cuts elsewhere in other programs?
Well, I don't always agree. I mean, I agree with him in the abstract. Hey, that's a great thing to do. But some of these you just can't plan for. I think we can do a better job of budgeting for disasters. And that's one thing I'm actually going to try to do in the ag appropriations bill, is to try to build in some disaster money in there that it should be in the budget. You know, we should understand that we're going to need that money from time to time. But the truth is, you just don't know when the next big hurricane's going to come, the next big ice storm, tornado, whatever it is. You just don't know. So historically, that type of spending has always been kind of emergency spending without it being in the budget. Again, I think we have a lot of that built in through FEMA's budget and a few other things, but sometimes you need that extra injection to help. So, you know, with all due respect to Senator Coburn, I know it's his home state. If we have to get it done without doing an offset, I think we need to get it done. I think getting it done is more important than trying to figure out all the federal budget craziness right now.
Well, you mentioned the Ag Appropriations Bill. I understand there has been work on a new farm bill.
There has been. In fact, the House and Senate have both finished their work on the committee farm bills, House version, Senate version. So now the Senate farm bill is on the Senate floor. And all week we've been saying we're going to try to finish it this week. So, you know, hopefully we finish the Senate farm bill this week. It's going to be quite a bit better than the farm bill we saw a year ago coming out of the Senate. This is one it looks like I can vote for. Of course, I need to see what all amendments get attached to it, but looks like it's one I can vote for, and I think Senator Bozeman is kind of, he voted for it coming out of committee, so I think he's sort of leaning the same way. I can't speak for him, but you know, I feel like, you know, agriculture is a huge industry for Arkansas, and I have a few things in the underlying bill, but nonetheless, I think it's a huge thing for Arkansas, and we are, you know, it's important that we have good agriculture policy for the country, and it looks like the Senate's going to be able to get its work done, like I said, this week, or maybe when we come back from recess, maybe, mm-hmm. So in 10 days or so, and then get it over to the House and see what they do.
Okay, what are the prospects for bringing this all together?
I think the prospects are good. You know, last time the Senate passed the Senate bill, sent it over to the House, and it died on the vine over there. I talked to Congressman Crawford yesterday, and you know, he indicated, and he said this publicly, so I'm not trying to speak for him, but he indicated that he thought there was a pretty decent chance that the House would take up the farm bill and would actually pass it. Now, it's going to be different than the Senate version, and there's going to be some differences, especially around the nutrition programs and all that. We have to remember that only a small part of the farm bill actually deals with farming. Most of it, about 70 or so percent of it, is actually nutrition programs, things like the school lunch program and the SNAP program, which is the food stamp program. And then you have a lot of maybe 15 or so percent is rural development, where you help small towns and small communities do things in rural settings that otherwise they just don't have the money to do, to try to make sure they don't get left behind in the U.S. economy. So really only about maybe 15 or at most 20% of this bill is actually about farming itself. So anyway, nonetheless, this is a big, important bill. We need to get it done, and I'm hoping that, I think, my sense is it will get done. That, if you're asking that question, I think at some point later this year, the president will sign this bill into law.
All right, the Senate Judiciary Committee has approved the immigration reform bill, and that's expected to head to the Senate floor for debate in the next couple of weeks or so. What does it change, and what chances does it have?
Well, this is comprehensive reform. This is the product of eight senators, four Democrats, four Republicans coming together to try to do comprehensive immigration reform. You know, from my standpoint, this is long overdue. We've had an immigration problem. We have basically a broken immigration system in this country. Fixing it is controversial because pretty much everybody agrees it needs to be fixed. But then when you talk about how we should fix it, that's when you get into the controversy. You know, I am going to, the bill just literally came out of the committee yesterday or last night. I haven't had a chance to see what all amendments, they dealt with 150 amendments on it. So once the bill kind of gets put together and actually is put in a legible form, I'll read it and I will make my judgment on whether I can support it. But I do think we need to do reform. I think it's important. Kind of, I'd say, on the white-collar side of the equation, where we allow the best and the brightest from around the world to come to the U.S. to be educated, but then we don't let them stay here and work. And that's a problem, because what they do is they go to China and India and other places, and they compete against us. And, you know, that's not smart policy. And so we also have this kind of blue-collar immigration challenge where, as we know, we have a leaky border. We have a lot of people in this country that shouldn't be here. And how you deal with that and what the steps are, if there is going to be a step to get those folks into a legal process, what kind of penalties, how do they have to earn that status, you know. So I'm looking forward to reading the Senate bill and see how the Senate Judiciary Committee handled that.
Well, you've been taken to task by a number of people and organizations for your vote last month that turned down expanded background checks on gun purchases. Can you explain that vote for us, and do you expect it to affect your reelection campaign?
You know, actually, I think on that vote, I'm right where Arkansas is once Arkansas understands the facts. And by the way, the vast majority of people I've talked to in the last few weeks in Arkansas have come up and thanked me for my vote, because the folks who are following this understand what I did and why. And here's the thing. I did vote to expand background checks. We had two background check bills on the floor that day. We had Manchin-Toomey, which is the one that everybody's talking about. That's more or less been the Democratic bill, and I voted against that one. But we had the Grassley Amendment as well. And the Grassley Amendment, again, was more or less a Republican bill. There were maybe, I don't know, four Democrats or so that voted for it. But nonetheless, I think Grassley is where Arkansas is. Basically, what it does is it eliminates the straw purchases, which are a problem, but it fixes our background check system we have on the books, and it enforces the law we have on the books. So right now, not all federal and state agencies are required to put data into the background check system. We fix that in Grassley. There's not a consensus on what the definition of mental health is. We fix that in Grassley. For 10 years, I've been trying to get the Republicans up here to say that they were willing to spend more money on mental health services. We actually fix that in Grassley. I've been trying to get the Republicans to say they support the COPS program and to fully authorize it and fully fund it. We fix that in Grassley. So there's a lot of good things in the Grassley Amendment that I think, again, is right where people in Arkansas would be if they had a chance to read both. And the other thing about Manchin-Toomey, and man, I have total respect for those two senators, one Democrat, one Republican, both of them stick their neck out. They try to do a compromise. I have total respect for what they did, and I appreciate them very much. But with all due respect to them, you can read the Manchin-Toomey bill a dozen times. And you know what? There's not one thing in there that would have prevented Sandy Hook or Aurora or Tucson or Jonesboro. There's nothing in that legislation that would have prevented those events. And again, I respect those people and I appreciate them, but I think Grassley was a much more effective and better way to go. And by the way, not that it matters, but just for people to know, the NRA actually endorsed the Grassley approach. So I just thought Grassley's really where Arkansas is, and you know, again, I appreciate Manchin and Toomey for their efforts, but at the end of the day, I just couldn't support their bill.
Where did this Grassley amendment go? Where is it?
Well, here's the deal. What happened is we had both those votes the same day, and this is something, it's crazy, and I'm not trying to diss NPR, but they haven't done a good job of reporting this either, but the national news media really has not reported. It's like it didn't even happen. We had those votes back-to-back. Let's see, Manchin-Toomey got 54 votes, Grassley got 52 votes. So both of them needed 60 to pass because that was the agreement we were under at the time. So one got 54, the other got 52. So we voted on both of them right back-to-back, but for a lot of the national organizations, it's like the second vote didn't even happen. And, you know, I don't know why that is. I'll be honest with you. I did a 10 to 15-minute interview with the Arkansas AP on this, and it barely got a mention, just kind of a general reference in the article, half of a sentence. So I don't know why the national folks and the AP and whatnot haven't picked it up, but you can look at the record, and y'all can pull it up and read it. I mean, I'll tell you, I think Grassley's where people in Arkansas want me to be.
Is there going to be any kind of effort to work on this Grassley amendment more or get more recognition for it or bring
it
back?
You know, there may be. There's some talk that we will have another effort on the gun legislation. I'm not sure that's going to happen. If it does happen, I'm not sure when. And there's been a lot of discussions here in Washington about trying to come up with something that will pass, that will make a difference, and try to stop, you know, some of this gun violence and whatnot. I think, though, people in our state, and I don't think it's an exaggeration, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, I think we have more guns in Arkansas than we do people. And I think that, you know, we live in a state where people are very comfortable with gun ownership. One of the things I hear every single day when I talk to people about guns, it's about gun safety and about responsible gun ownership in Arkansas. It is ingrained in us. I mean, it's like grandfather to grandson, I'm passing down these guns to you, and, you know, you have to have hunter education to get a hunting license in the state, and that means some gun safety stuff. I mean, you know, we're very comfortable with gun ownership in our state, and we're very committed to doing it the right way. So I think the gun issue is just different in Arkansas than it is in a place, quite honestly, like it would be for the mayor of New York City, you know, and he's running all these ads around the country, and he's run quite a few in Arkansas. And I just think it's the guns are just a different issue here than they are in New York City.
Well, I wanted to talk for at least a couple of minutes on the scandals the Obama administration has been facing. There's really too much there to get in depth with, but we've had the investigation of the Benghazi investigation going on there. We've had the IRS under investigation for targeting right-wing groups for additional scrutiny in 501c4 applications. We've had the Justice Department seizing phone records from the AP. All these scandals going on. Are all these valid? Are all these things that need to be paid attention to? Are some of them more politically motivated than what do you think?
Well, there's definitely politics and all of those things in just how, you know, some people are trying to talk about them. But the truth is, all of those have a legitimate concern with them, and some very much a concern. Like, you never want the Internal Revenue Service picking sides in politics. Mm-hmm. I think that was wrong, and I think the folks that were involved in that should be fired. I know a lot of them have left already or have been fired or quit or whatever, but still, we need to get to the bottom of that and make sure that doesn't happen again. You just should not have the IRS doing that kind of activity. Again, picking sides. Now, if they want to look at all these political organizations and say, are you really following the, you know, IRS regs on, you know, how you get this tax-free status? Now, that's different, but apparently that's not what the IRS was doing. And then you look at something like Benghazi. Obviously, there's a lot of politics there. Part of that's because of Hillary Clinton, and some people think she may run for president next time. But the truth is, the State Department, White House need to do whatever they can to make sure this doesn't happen in the future. And so we need to find lessons learned, find out what went wrong there and why, and you know, we need to take care of that in the future. And obviously, the Associated Press, it always makes you very, very, very nervous when the Department of Justice or anybody from the government is targeting reporters to try to get information from them, you know, especially when they don't know what's going on. It's very troubling. I read an analysis of it here in Washington, and they said, well, it's very complicated on why and how and the law and all this. Well, regardless of all that, it is very troubling that the Justice Department would do that.
And that's the one that's probably most of concern to us in the media, of course.
Sure. I mean, well, you know, here's the deal. I mean, if you guys, let's say KSU's running a story that I don't like, does that mean I'm going to turn DOJ loose on you? No. I mean, I should never do that, and that should never even be even enter anyone's mind. And that's the concern with that story. You know, why was DOJ doing that? Apparently, they were going after some leaks, and I understand that, and maybe trying to, you know, get sources and all that. I do understand that, but I think the DOJ is in very, very dangerous territory and very shaky ground when they start trying to monitor what the press is doing. That's one of the sacred rights in the U.S. Constitution, man, freedom of the press. Our founding fathers wrote it in, and we need to allow the press to do their job and that there shouldn't be a chilling effect on the press.
Just a minute left. Memorial Day is coming up. I understand there's an effort to fund the creation of a Gulf War memorial for Gulf War veterans.
Yeah, you know, Memorial Day is obviously a very somber time, but a time when we celebrate, you know, our American heroes and try to give them the proper amount of tribute for doing what they did for our country. And there is an effort to do that with the Gulf War. And, you know, also it was just in the last decade or two that they finally did the big World War II memorial mm-hmm. on the Mall, which has been amazing. And we've had busloads of Arkansas veterans who fought in the war come up and see it. And it's, you see tears in their eyes. It's very special. And, yeah, we would like to honor our veterans that served in all the wars. Of course, we have Vietnam Memorial and other things already. So we would like to do that. And I think it's the right thing to do.
All right. Senator Mark Pryor joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.